suggestion was made that we should discuss a little bit in Yoni Rosh Hashanah. Okay. The Mishnahis tell us that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin. We say in the davening, Rosh Hashanah Yikosevun, Yom Tzem Kippur Yechosemun. So the Ramban in his drosha for Rosh Hashanah raises the question, where did the Tanoim get this idea from? It doesn't seem to appear anywhere in Tanakh that they have such an oral tradition. The Ramban's drosha for Rosh Hashanah was delivered in the Beis HaKnesses HaRamban, in the Rovan, in Yerushalayim. What happened was that he was involved in a debate with a Jewish Mishumid who became a Christian, and the Ramban won the debate, defending the Jewish religion and destroying the Christian religion. So he won the debate, but he had to leave Spain because the church would kill him. So he ran to Eretz Yisrael. So there was hardly anybody, he writes, there was hardly anybody there. It was barely a minion. And he davened in the Rova, in the Jewish section. Now there are four sections. Years ago, there were no four sections. So he gave this long, long drasha. It goes through all the inyanim of Rosh Hashanah, all the inyanim of Malchus Chayna Shofar and Tekiyah Shofar. Very, very strong drasha. So he says that he quotes a medrash, Pirkei de Rav Lezer, that Adam Rishon was created on the sixth day of Sheshes Megreshes. That was on a Friday, and he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And according to the Gemara, the medrash has also the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he violated the prohibition the same day. The Ramban, in fact, quotes an interesting medrash. Ramban, the beginning of Chulin, quotes a medrash, and he bases halachas on this. We follow that Ramban, that if Adam Rishon would have waited until Friday night, it would have been permissible for him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The whole prohibition was only Hayrah Shah. It was only for that one day, and he didn't have self-control to hold back from eating from the Eitz Hadas. His wife ate, and he ate. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged him and punished him, chased him out of Gan Eden the same day. And he told him at that time that just like I judged you today, so too your descendants will all be judged on Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban says that is the source of this tradition. It doesn't appear in Tanakh, but apparently it was an oral tradition for the days of Adam Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to tell his children that. During the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Kara. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in, first he lived in Europe, and then as a child they moved to Eretz Yisrael. So he lived in Tzfat. After the Spanish Inquisition and the Spanish expulsion and the Portuguese expulsion, so that's when the yeshiva in Tzfat picked up. There weren't so many Jews living there before the Spanish and the Portuguese expulsion. So Tzfat became a big city. So the Beis Yosef had together on his bezin, he had the Mabit also. We know historically the Mabit, Rabbeinu Moshe Ditrani is the Rosh Tevis Mabit. So the Mabit had a few famous disputes with Beis Yosef, some of them about Shemitah, a few famous disputes about Trumas and Maestras, but apparently most of them, apparently 98% of all the dinim, they agreed. Otherwise, how could they function on a bezin together? So historically, they're known for their disagreements, but they must have agreed on most of the inyanim. So the Mabit wrote, in addition to his tshuvas, he wrote a sefer called Beis Elokim. It became more popular recently because they printed it now with nekudas and with paragraphs. It's easier to read. And subtitles, so it's easier to understand. It's a sefer on Hashkafa. So the Mabit writes that just like Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin for all people, Yom Adin for individuals, Yom Adin for Alamadinas, Bo Yeomer, Ezel Acher, Ezel Arov, and countries, so too Aseres Yemei Tshuva is relevant for all the Nomosalim also. It's not just for the Jewish people. The pasuk says, "Dir Hashem behimot." So, and the Gemara understands we should search out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that season of the year when He makes Himself more available. So, the pashtus is that because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin for all the Ummah Sa'olam. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself more available for the Nochrim, also for the Ummah Sa'olam, to be able to do tshuva. The ability to do tshuva is not unique davke to the Jewish people, but applies to the Ummah Sa'olam as well. That's why we read from Yonah. Maftir Yonah is all about that. Yonah had to go give a message to the people who lived in the city Nineveh. Another 40 days, the city Nineveh is going to be destroyed, and then the people did tshuva, and it was not destroyed. They see that tshuva works even for the Ummah Sa'olam. And Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Adam HaRishon, and he told them, "Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'Adam," and he instructed in the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. We refer to the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach because the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There's also give about Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. It starts around Daf Nun Ches Noach. I think it starts from Zion, and it goes till a few Daf in Gemara, four blood Gemara. And the Gemara says there that Adam HaRishon had to be a vegetarian. He wasn't permitted to eat meat. Only after the Mabul did HaKadosh Baruch Hu permit Noach to eat meat. Kier kesev nasati lachem es kol. Just like until then, man was only permitted to eat fruits and vegetables. So from now on, after the Mabul was over, man was permitted to kill animals and to eat the animals as well. So the prohibition of the Eved Melechai wasn't given until after the Mabul. So that's why we call them the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenach, because only six of the mitzvahs were given to Adam HaRishon, and the Eved Melechai was only given after the Mabul. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed the simple reading of the Pasuk, the only din that he told them was not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's what it sounds from the Pasuk. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in that Sukkah B'Nenach, the Gemara explains that included in the Pasuk, you have to read it in between the lines, included in the Pasuk is all of the other Sheish Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So it's on Rosh Hashanah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Adam HaRishon, and he gave him the mitzvahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only considered the Melech. We have an expression that the Mekubalim have, a Melech Balayom. You can't be a Melech unless you have a nation over whom, unless there were people or under your malucha, under your memshalom. So before the days of Adam HaRishon, in the first 5 days of creation, the prehistoric part, before man was on the scene, Kodesh Baruch Hu was not a melech. That's where we say, Adon Olam Hashem Malach, Teran Kol Tzin Ebra. Eis Asa B'chef Tzokol, Azai Melech Shemonikor. After he created Adam HaRishon, then he was called a melech. Before Adam HaRishon, he wasn't a melech, Azai Melech B'lo Yom. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu became a melech on the sixth day of Bereshis when he created Adam, so to we are mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu every year on Rosh Hashanah. We declare, we say HaMelech HaKadosh, we say V'simlech HaTo Hashem L'Vadecha, HaKol Masech, Malchius is the theme of the day, the main theme, Melech HaKol Ha'aretz. We emphasize the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We offer, it's the day of coronation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We offer the crown of Malchus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does he accept the crown? So Rav Soloveitchik gave one of his beautiful drushes. He used to give a drusha for the Rabbinical Council of America for many years in Aseres Mechubas. And one of the drushes, he said, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept the crown that we offer him? So he said, no, because the Pasuk says, by Amalek, Kiyor al Keisko, L'chom al Hashem ba'amolek midor dor, the Pasuk in the end of B'shalach. What does it say? Al keis koh. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, it should have said kisei, and it should have said yudkei vavkei, why keis koh? Ein ha-kisei sholem, ein ha-shem sholem, kol zman sha'amolek ba'olam. As long as you have the problem of evil, Amolek represents ra, Amolek represents the problem of tzadik v'ra l'rosh v'tovlo. There's something fishy going on. We believe that there's only one God who's in charge of everything, and he created the whole world, Yesh Miayin. He has koyach to do everything, and he's a good God. So how come we have Tzadik V'Ra'alo Rosh HaBetobolus? If you would assume that there's more than one God, so there's a God of good, God of evil. Okay, so the God of evil does all the terrible things, God of good. We believe there's only one God. If you say God does know what's going on, but we believe God, there's Hashgach HaPrat, he knows everything that everybody's doing. And you can't say he doesn't care. You can't say he doesn't have the ability. All the terutzim that you can give on the problem, we don't accept any of the terutzim. We're stuck with a big kasha. How come you have tzadik v'ra'alo rosh v'tovlo? That's a big question. That's what That's what we say. It's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says on every Rosh Chodesh we have to bring a Sor Chatos L'Hashem. So the Gemara says it's a Korban Chatos. Hashem needs forgiveness. Why he allows this Tzadik V'ra'ar or Rosh HaVetovlam. Haviu alai kapara al shemiyatati as hayareach. That's what the Chazal have in common. It says in Bereishit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shnei Hamaros HaGdolim. Then it says Hamar Gadol Mishalos Hayam, Hamar Katol Mishalos HaLaila. But first it says Shnei Hamaros HaGdolim. It says that they were both Maros HaGdolim. So how did all of a sudden become Hamar HaKotan? So the Gemara says that the Yareach came to complain, how can you have Shnei Malachim Mishtam Shemikesar Echot? It's going to be a problem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, L'chi Yamati HaSatzmech, that the Levana should become smaller. So the Levana, what was the Levana complaining about? Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtam Shemikesar Echot. The Levana wanted that the Chama should become smaller. So the Baruch Hu punished the Levana, but the people don't know that story. We read Bereishis, that's what we see. Shemaris HaGdolim, and then all of a sudden became Amor HaKotan, so the Levana was punished. But the public doesn't know this background. So it looks as if God punished the Tzaddik. The Levana didn't know anything wrong, and she's suffering. So that's the problem of Tzaddik Veralo. So there's a good explanation, because the Levana wanted to mess up the Chama. So the Baruch Shalom said, no, we're gonna make you smaller. But this is the problem of Tzarek V'ra'ala Rosh HaBetavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, he can't explain it to us. From our perspective, it seems as if there's a lot of Tzarek V'ra'ala, it seems as if there's a lot of Rosh HaBetavlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, someday in the future, he'll be able to explain it. So that's what the Amalek represents, this idea of Tzarek V'ra'ala Rosh HaBetavlo. So Kozman, the Amalek is Balaam, Kozman, that you have this issue. It looks as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in full control of everything. Ein HaKisa Shom, Kisa means the Kisa Malchus, the Melech has the power to do whatever he pleases. It looks as if the Baruch Shalom is not powerful. It looks as if he doesn't have the Koyach. And the Shem Yudke Vavke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is not called Yudke Vavke. Lo Asid Lovai, when we'll understand the answer to the question in Tzadik Ra'ala, Rosh HaVetovlo, it looks as if it's Kor. What is Yudke? So many assume that it means Yudke Vavke. The first two letters of Yudke Vavke is Kor. That's what the Menchas Chinuch assumes like that. And he has a certain issue. He has a whole Dratur. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, suggested maybe Kor is, the Rambam says, the Shem Yudke is an abridged form of Yudke Vavke. What did they abridge? So the Menchas Chinuch answered that it's the first two letters of Yudke Vavke. The Moshe Soloveitchik thought not so. He thought that it's the first Yud and it's the last He. It's not the middle one. In Hebrew, when you have a poel, so you have Hu Yelech, Hu Yishma, Hu Yochal. So the Yud represents us. The person's going to do something in the future. So Yud, we say Yud Kevav, because Hoya Hoiva the Yehiyah. So which part of the word is Hoya? Which part is Hoiva and which part is Yehiyah? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that the Yud in the beginning is Yehiyah. That's La'asid Lovay. And in the past tense, you say Hu Asa. So the Hey at the end is past. And the Hey Vav in the middle is Hove. So we look in the world, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to be in charge. The Sheishis made gracious, and years ago he made Nisim in the floors. He changed Chukia Teva. He tempered the Chukia Teva. So in the past, he was clearly the Melech. He was in full control. In the future, he will be in full control. Ba'olam Hazeh, it looks as if he's not in full control. Calls Manshe HaMalek Ba'olam, it looks as if the Ein Akis Shalom, the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is incomplete. So the Yud Kei is an abridged form of Yud Kei Vavke, not the first two letters. It's the first letter and the last letter. The Yud in the future, he's going to be, it'll be obvious that he's in charge. And in the past it was obvious, but the missing part of Yud Kei Vavke is the middle two letters, the Hei Vav, the Hove is missing. That Bo'olam Hazeh looks as if so many things are missing. So we offer the Malchus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. We declare him as the Melech HaOlam, and we blow trumpets in Birnbaum Machzer and a lot of Chassidish Nusach Svarad Machzerim. They quote from the Rav Haigoin, the 10 different kavanas that are relevant to Tkiyah Shofar. So the main kavana is that we are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Usually we don't have too many kingdoms in the world. Well, let's say when you have the Queen of England, when she was coronated, so they blow trumpets. When they appoint a new king, they blow trumpets. So we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah to represent Hamlocha. We are coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he can't accept the coronation. He doesn't accept it because Kol Zman that Hamolek is Ba'olam. So Ein HaKisei Sholem, it doesn't look as if he's in full control of everything. So that's our job, to wipe out Hamolek. Wipe out Hamolek, the nation of Hamolek. And everyone has within them, that was Rav Soloveitchik's drasha, everyone who does Averis, the Averis are also stem from Amalek. All the evil things that are taking place in the world, including all the Averis that we do, is also Amalek. So just like there was a Mechemes Amalek, and Yeshua was the general, and Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, and he had Ar Mechur, Tom Chubiyad, Mizeh Echad, Mizeh Echad, so too, the Mechil, the comments on that Pasuk, and every time is Sibur, not only when they were waging Mulchama against Amalek. Whenever you have a Tiny Sibur, like Yom Kippur is a Tiny Sibur, so the Chazan has to have two people, one to his right and one to his left, to enhance the davening. So when do we do that on Yom Kippur? So the Magen Avraham says, we daven Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, that you daven on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. So there's nothing unique on Yom Kippur about Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha. But Ne'ilah, that's Tfilas HaTainis. Ne'ilah, we make a mistake. People think Ne'ilah has to do with Yom Kippur. Not really unique to Yom Kippur. The Mishnayos and Tainis say Ne'ilah was the Tfilah that they used to offer on every Tainis Sibur. Except we don't have a Tainis Sibur. Even though we lay in Baichal on Shivasa B'tamas and Asara B'tavis and so on. But the Goinim explained that it doesn't have the full din of Tainis Sibur. The Gemara said it doesn't have. Ein Tainis Sibur v'bavel chutz mi tisha bavel Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Tainis Sibur. We should really have said Ne'ilah and Tisha B'Av also. The Gemara said Tisha B'Av is also Tainis Sibur. But the whole idea of Ne'ilah is the opposite of what Tisha B'Av is all about. Ne'ilah, the Yerushalmi explains this in the end of Tainis. What is Ne'ilah all about? Ribui Tfilo. The Yerushalmi quotes Pesukim from Torah, from Vim, from Ksuvim. Gam Kisar B'Sfilah and Nen Shemei Edechem Domim Aleu. That's in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, the first Parsha in Yeshaya. There's an inyan of ribuy tefillah. If someone would ask me to do them a favor, and he's going to pester me, every 10 minutes he's going to come back and ask me the same thing, for sure I'm not going to do it. He made me so crazy, such a terrible nudnik. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that by him is not so. If we ask for something, we ask for it 10 times, we stand a better chance of having our prayers answered than if you only ask once. There's an inyan of ribuy tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't get disgusted and throw out the nudniks. He's not, for sure he's not going to listen to us. No. He told us in the Torah and the Ksuvim that there is an inyan of ribuy tefillah. So that's what a Tainis Sibur is all about. Tainis Sibur means that there's an Eis Tzara. And we add an additional tefillah. In addition to Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, we add tefillahs Ne'ilah. On Yom Kippur you have Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, then you have Ne'ilah, is the ribuy tefillah. There are some people in America, they go to work all day Yom Kippur, they just come to shul to Ne'ilah. So Rav Chaim made fun of that, apparently in Europe, and last year also there was such a practice. Ne'ilah means a ribuy tefillah. In addition to all the other tefillahs, you add on the icing on top of the cake is, you add another tefillah. But if you didn't daven anything on Yom Kippur, you didn't daven any of the other tefillah, you only said Ne'ilah, so you didn't accomplish anything. The same is about slichas. Rav Soloveitchik, he said, let's say a person wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he says slichas, and he goes to bed, and he sleeps the whole day, and he doesn't daven shachris, a mincha, he doesn't daven the whole day. So he wasn't yotzi slichas either. Slichas halpidin is the hakdama, is the introduction. Let's say you write a book, and you write a preface. And then the printer left out the book. He only prints the preface. What preface to what? Slichas is supposed to be the introduction to the tefillos hayayim. So that's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Chazan, who's the Baal Tefillah for Slichas, should daven the rest of the day, Shachris and Mincha, because HaMaschal B'Mitzvah Omim Lo Gemor. So the Mepharshim on the Shulchan Aruch ask, every day you have such a practice, whoever daven Shachris, let's say on Shabbos Yom, whoever daven Shachris, davens Musaf and Mincha on the same day, we don't have such a practice. What's that this over here? And when you say Slichas, Rav Soloveitchik explains, so Rav Shlomo Levilna has the whole essay, he thinks that's not the true reason. thanks to the real reason why the one who davens slichas davens all day long, because in order to be the Baal Tefillah for slichas, you have to wake up, really, you have to wake up 3:30 and get to shul at 4 o'clock in order to say the slichas. So he deserves credit. He deserves some reward for that. So we reward him in order to encourage people that they should come to slichas on time. We reward him when we say the bonus is that whoever daven slichas has the right to daven all day long. But it's not because hamaschal the mitzvah amim lagamar. That's what Shlomo Levilna suggests. His safe, he has a safe on Arachim. That's called Binyan Shlomo. But in Shulchan Aruch, the official reason that the Mepharshim give is because Hamascha b'mitzvah amu lo gemar. So that's the question. What does Mincha have to do with Shacharis? Each one is separate. Amu lo gemar to complete what he started. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, because Slichas is the Hakdomah to the Tfilas Hayom. That's why it's very questionable. Chacham Avadya has a famous tshuva that the Sfardim all swear by his tshuvas. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva. He says, if a person can't get up for Slichas in the morning, so what should he do with Slichas this season of the year? Who can wake up so early? So he says, maybe he says Slichas by Mincha, just like Yom Kippur Kotel. Now, so Soloveitchik didn't address the issue, but he said, Slichas on Shivasa B'Tamas and Tzom Gedalia, that's in the middle of Hazaras HaShatz. The Balei HaTaisi says Slichas in the middle of Slach Lo Avin and Kichatanu. In Broyers, they still follow the meaning of the Balei HaTaisi. They say Slichas in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. Other shuls, they don't do that. You may not have it. Prima Gordon points out you can only add the slichas in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz if you have Asorim Misanim. It's a Chazaras HaShatz is the Tfilas HaTzibur. So if you have a whole Tzibur fasting, you don't know. Maybe you don't have 10 people fasting. So that's why we moved it. Most places they say the slichas after Shacharis. But it's in connection with Shacharis. It's not the slichas on a tiny Tzibur are not an introduction to the Tfilas Hayom. But this season of the year, or Yom Kippur Kotel, it's not an introduction. They say slichas by Mincha. But this season of the year, the idea of slichas is different from the Yom Kippur Kotel. It's different from slichas on Shivasa B'Tamas at Tzom Gedalia. The slichas is the Hakdomah to the Tfilas Hayom. So if the person gets up, he says slichas, and he doesn't daven a whole, he falls asleep, he doesn't daven a whole day long, he's not even yet to the slichas. But that's what Rab Chaim said, Benegeh to Ne'ilah. The Ne'ilah is Ribuy Tfilah. That's what the Rishami says, Befeirish. That's not a Chiddush. Shami says that. So if a person didn't daven a whole day long, he just comes to shul and says Neila, he's not even Yotze Neila. Neila, you don't accomplish anything. Rav Soloveitchik said, I think his father, or maybe Rav Chaim, maybe his grandfather, or Mesupik, does he have to daven Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha, and then Neila? What if he only daven Mincha, and then he davens Neila? Maybe it's also called Tosefes Tfilah. Maybe it's also called an additional tefillah, even though he didn't daven all of the other tefillahs on Yom Kippur. So this is one of the kavanas that we have when we blow shofar, just like when they appoint a new king. They blast the trumpet, so we blow shofar. And this is the kavana you should have. We blow shofar in the Chazaras HaShatz after Malchus, after Zechronus, and after shofars. So the Tkir Shofar after Malchus should have this added kavana. We're blowing the trumpets to appoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. Yes?
Why don't we say Ne'ilah Tishrov?
I said, yeah. I never got to the punchline yet. Tisha B'Av, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Perek Hazav, the end of Perek Hazav, the Gemara says, V'yam Shechar Beis HaMikdash Ninalu Shari Tfilah. The tefillahs are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted. His man, Shavei Samigdush HaYekayim, as it says in the Pasuk, Enecha, Gam Kezav HaShavei Asah Sam Tefillosi. The prayers are not accepted. How come the prayers are not accepted after the Churban HaBayis? Because we usually think of the Beis HaMikdash as the Makam HaKrovus HaKarbonis. But if you look in Tanakh, both in Sefer Melochim, as well as in Divrei HaYomim, the Tanakh records the tefillah that Shlomo HaMelech offered when he completed building the first Beis HaMikdash. He has a long tefillah, and he doesn't say a word about it. He says, I built the Beis HaMikdash, and doesn't say that Makro Karbonis. He leaves out the main purpose. He certainly was Makro Karbonis, it says in Tanakh, but he leaves that out. The whole emphasis that he has is, Ki Beis HaBeis Tefillah Yikarei L'Chol Ham. That pasuk is not in Tefillah Shlomo, but you see from the Tanakh, that the Beis HaMikdash is officially the Mokam HaTfilah. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech says in the Tfilah, that the Beis HaMikdash is for individuals to come when there'll be famine, when there'll be war, when there'll be flooding, when there'll be pandemics, when there'll be major tragedies. People should come to the Beis HaMikdash and daven. And if it's too far to go to the Beis HaMikdash, Vizpalo Alecha, Derech Abayi says that if they're davening in Yerushalayim, they should face the Beis HaMikdash. And if they're davening Chutz Yerushalayim, Vizpalo Alecha, Derech Ha'ir Azos, they should face Yerushalayim. And if they're davening outside of Eretz Yisrael, they just have Vizpalo Alecha, Derech Artsam, they should face Eretz Yisrael. Because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech emphasizes the aspect of the Beis HaMikdash as the Mokam HaTfilah. So that's why the Pasuk says, Gam Ke'ezav Gashaveh, now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, tefillahs are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted as much of Beis HaMikdash or Yekayim. That's why the minhag is that on Leil Tisha B'Av, we dav Ma'ariv B'Tzibur, and then the Chazan says, Kaddish Tiskabel, after Ma'ariv, and then we read Eicha, and then we say Kaddish Olam, but we leave out Tiskabel. We really ought to say Tiskabel, because at the end of Eicha, you say, Hashveh Hashem Eilechem and Hashuvah, Chadash Emenei Kiked. We end off with Tfilos. How come we don't say Tiskabel again? So the meaning has it, after you read Eicha, you don't say Tiskabel. In Shachris also, you don't say Tiskabel. After Mincha, in the afternoon, we do say Tiskabel. We leave out Tiskabel by Ma'ariv and by Shachris to emphasize this theme, that Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, the Tfilos are not accepted to the same extent that used to be accepted as Mancha Beis HaMikdash or Yekayim. And then the Gemara in Hazav adds on, and they, even though Shari Tefillah were Ninalu, however, Shari Demois, Loi Ninalu. If a person davens with extreme sincerity and he's brought to tears when he's davening, some people can just turn on the faucet and start crying when they're reading Ezel Mekayman. They'll start crying. In Yiddish folklore, they say about the person who's saying Ezel Mekayman, he was crying. So they ask them, what are you crying about? So he says, Nebuch, the poor man is Rafim. He thought they burned them alive. They don't burn them alive. They shecht them. Maybe you should cry because they're shechting them. But after you shecht them, then you burn the flesh. Okay, you burn the chalofim. Burn myself and burn the whole thing. But you don't burn them alive. Yeah, so the Gemara says if a person is davening about a serious issue and is moved to tears because of sincerity, so afalpi, even though shari tefillah were ninalu, shari demois were loy ninalu. That's what the davening is all about on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, the Chumash describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah, U'metargeminon, and the Targum Onkelos translates Yom Yabava. And what does the word Yabava mean in Aramaic? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shiraz Devarah, in Sefer Shoftim, that, what's his name, Sisera. Sisera was a general of the Goyisha army, and he usually was successful in battle. And his mother would always rejoice when her son would come back victorious in battle. And this time the son didn't come back because he was killed. Yoel Eshes Chevrakeni beheaded him. She cut off his head. So Sisera's mother was waiting by the window. Be'ar ha'chalon nishkefa bat yabev. Em Sisera, she was crying and crying. How come my son didn't come back? And then the women were coming. I thought, no, it's a successful battle. He's going to come home. But then it turned out he didn't come home. Shush. So the pasuk uses the verb vatayabev. She was crying. So kiyah shofar is supposed to sound like crying. What kind of a mitzvah is that? Kiyah shofar is supposed to be a form of tefillah, and not the plain level of tefillah that miyam shachar beis hamikdash ninalu shari tefillah. It's supposed to be a serious tefillah. And Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging the whole world. So it's a more serious than other days of judgment. More serious than a court case. How much are you going to lose on the court case? A couple of $1,000. Here it's the judgment is on your whole life. So the whole idea of Tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is that Tkiyas represent the Tfilah Sheishim of the Mois. And the Ramban and the Melchamas on Rosh Hashanah explains on Pi Halacha, maybe we'll get to it a little later. He explains that the Mishnah says in Tainus, on a Tainus Tzibur, the days of the Tanaim, the Shemana Esrei, only had 18 brachas. Then the Gemara said they added on the Lam Malshinim, made it into 19. So the Gemara says, all the tefillahs were composed by the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. That was in the beginning of the Baisheni period. The Anshe Knesset HaGdolah was a body, a group of Rabbanim that consisted of 120 Rabbanim. That's why the Knesset has 120 members. They're mimicking the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. Okay. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdola consisted of 120 Rabbanim, no Arabs then, Ubehem Kama Nevim, and several of them were Nevim. What's the significance of mentioning Ubehem Kama Nevim? The Chaim Olozhener writes in his Sefer, Nefesh HaChayim, beautiful Sefer, he writes, to compose a tefillah that should last for 3,000 years, we still say the same tefillahs. To compose a tefillah, you have to have a koyach of nevuah, you have to have a koyach of ruach hakodesh. Some people can't compose tefillahs. Rav Soloveitchik said he used to go a lot to graduations, and they would always invite a grandfather of one of the graduates to offer a prayer, and the rabbis would always make up some new prayer, and he said he always thought that it's a big joke. He thought that people today don't know, even big Talmid Chacham, even big Rabbanim, thought they don't know how to compose prayers. He says he wasn't happy about the kinnis that were composed after the Shoah. He thinks that we don't have the ability to compose, even though the Bali Atosis composed so many slichas and kinnis and tefillas and everything. He said, enough, the Bali Atosis composed, we don't have. You have to have a big koyach to compose a tefillah. You have to know what you're talking about. The Gemara says the Anshei Knesset HaGdola composed all the tefillahs. Mikan v'yelach, after the period of Anshei Knesset HaGdola, you're not allowed to compose your own tefillahs. Also, the Sapir v'shvachu shal mochem. You're not allowed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you may not know what you're talking about. Human beings are foolish, silly. We don't have an understanding of what Elukus is all about. So you may say something that's an insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara gives a mashal amad avadayma. The farmer has no hasoga of wealth. So the farmer says, the king is so rich, he has $100 in his bank account. $100 in his bank account? That's more than $100. That's a joke. So we're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to say a shevach. It may turn out we're so foolish. We may say something that's stupid. That's Rav Chaim Olozhener says, Bahem kama nevi'im. You need a koyach of nevuah to be able to compose proper tefillahs. And then the Gemara says, how many units, the Gemara Bracha says, how many units do you have in a tefillah? Like on the weekdays, we daven a tefillah that has 18 units, the Shmona Esrei Brachas. Gemara shows a source in Tehillim that you can have a tefillah that has 18 parts. And Shabbos Yontov, the tefillah only has 7 units. Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis, and the middle of Bracha is for Kedushas Hayayim. So the Gemara shows a source in Tanakh that there's such a tefillah with 7 units. On Rosh Hashanah, we want to say Malchus, Achronis, and Shofars. So the Gemara shows Tfilas Chana. The Gemara quotes Tfilas Chana. Shem Hashem appears 9 times. So that shows you have a right to offer a tefillah with nine parts to it. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say this every year, that really the Musaf and Rosh Hashanah should really have 10 brachas. It should be the same as every Shabbos and Yom Tov. Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, and then the middle bracha should be about Kedushas Hayayim. Then in addition to the bracha Mekadesh Yisrael, the Yom HaZikaron, Rosh Hashanah is called Yom HaZikaron, we should have Malchus and Zechronis and Shofras. But the Gemara doesn't have a mocker for a tefillah that has 10 units. So that's why we don't daven like that. So you have to take two of the ideas and combine them together. So which two themes do you combine together? That's a three-way machlokes hatanoim. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri quoted in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is of the opinion that you should combine Malchus with Ata Kodesh v'Shem HaKodesh, because you're going to end off anyway HaMelech HaKodesh. You're going to introduce the theme of Malchus into Kedushas Hashem and Ata Kodesh. So you may as well say the whole theme of Malchus there. So Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri holds, you say Malchus with Ata Kodesh, and then you say the next bracha is just Kedushas Hayoyim, like a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, and then the Zechonis and Shofars are after that. So you don't have Malchus, Zechonis, and Shofars together. You have Malchus and Ata Kodesh, then you have Kedushas Hayom, then you have Zechonis and Shofars. And we don't follow his opinion. We follow the opinion, I think it's Rabbi Akiva, that you can, the Gemara says in half of Eretz Yisrael and the Galil, they used to follow Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri's opinion. And they used to combine Malchus with the Kedushas Hashem in the middle of Ata Kodesh. We don't follow that opinion. We follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion that you combine together Malchus with Kedushas Hayom, because that's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. Is Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu became the Melech when he became Melech B'Layom, when he created Adam Rishon. That's what we say in Don Alam. After creating the whole world with the human being, then he became the Melech. So every year on Rosh Hashanah, we appoint him again as the Melech, just like he became the Melech when he created Adam Rishon. Every year, we are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's a third opinion in the Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, I think, he says, just like on a regular Shabbos and Yontif and Rosh Chodesh and Musaf, we have seven brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. So the middle bracha, the fourth bracha is the middle bracha if you have seven. So the middle bracha is the bracha on Kedushas Hayayim. So on Rosh Hashanah also, you have the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, the three brachas in the middle of Malchus Chayna Shofers, and the middle of the middle is Achronis. So in the middle bracha, you put in the Kedushas Hayayim. Some of the Sfardim have that. They have in the middle of Zichronis, they have about Kedushas Hayayim. That's a carryover from that time, that in the days of the Tanaim, there was such a practice. We have the, Rav Soloveitchik had an uncle, Rav Menachem Krakovsky. He was the Magid, the Darshan in Vilna, with Rav Chaim Eisen. He married the daughter of Rabbi Soloveitchik's grandfather, Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother were first cousins. So Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother, her maiden name was Feinstein. So one of her sisters was married to this Rav Menachem Krakowski. And he published a sefer on the Rambam, Avodas HaMelech. So he has this suggestion in his sefer. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say it over every year, that we add piyutim in the middle of the bracha, in the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, we add Chen Tein Pachtecha V'Chen Tein Kovet in the middle of the bracha Vata Kodesh. I remember I was a rabbi in a shul for a very short period of time, about 5 years. So I remember the first shaila that I got in shul and the davening was on Rosh Hashanah afternoon. We daven Mincha in the shul, and then the chazan said after kedusha, he said, and then he finished and he said HaMelech HaKadosh, and he didn't say V'chein Tein Pachtecha. So they all turned to me and they asked, what's the din? Is it Ma'akeh B'Yevet? So the din is, it's not Ma'akeh B'Yevet, it's a piyut like all the other piyut that we say. V'chein Tein Pachtecha is not Ma'akeh. What did they put in V'chein Tein Pachtecha and Ata Kodesh? So Rav Menachem Krakowski has in his daughter-in-law, he used to teach in Stern College. She passed away many years ago, but she was from France. So he has a suggestion that this was a carryover from the days of the Tanoim, that in the Galil, the Yerushalmi says in Galil, they used to daven the Nusach of Rav Yechon ben Nuri, they included Malchias into the bracha Vata Kaddush. And then the next bracha was Kedushas Hayayim. They didn't have Malchias. Malchias was in the bracha Vata Kodesh, so as the introduction to Malchias, I said V'chein Tein Pachtecha, V'chein Tein Kovet, and so on. That was part of the introduction to the Malchias. So even though we don't follow that view of Rabbi Chaim Nuri, so we have nonetheless adapted this piyut that we say all the time. But by us, it's just a piyut, so it's not Me'akeh B'Yevet. Whether the Yochid left it out or the Chazan left it out, doesn't make a difference. So the Rabban and the Malchamas points out that just like on the Mishnah says in Tainus, on a Tainus Tzibur, the practice used to be that when the Chazan repeated the Chazaros HaShatz, he would add on six additional brachas. The Mishnah tells you what the text of the brachas was. And at the conclusion of each of the six additional brachas, they would blow shofar. So the Rabban says the fact that we blow shofar at the conclusion of Malchias, Zechronis and Shofars at the conclusion of these three brachas, that's identical with the fact that Bizman HaTanaim used to blow shofar on every tiny sibur in the middle, either shofar or chatzaitzus, used to blow chatzaitzus at the conclusion of the six additional brachas. What's the idea of blowing shofar? To elevate the level of the tefillah. On the tiny sibur, the six additional brachas are all tefillahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us and pull us out of this tzara. In Malchus Chayna Shofers also, each one of the three brachas, the concluding paragraph on Malchias, of Zechronis and of Shofers, is all a tefillah. The final paragraph, Malchus starts off, Elokeinu Kaseinu, Melocha Kol Kula Bechvei Decha. We plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should make Malchus Hashem should take place. We're waiting that Amalek should be wiped out. We should help HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipe out Amalek, and then he should become a Melech. Then Zecharei says, Elokeinu Kaseinu, Zecharei Mizekarim Tavu Lefanecha. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything and judges the whole world justly. So that's the tefillah in the concluding paragraph of Zechariah. Shofar said, "Lekenu Hashem Tkabu Shofar God Lecheveseinu." HaKadosh Baruch Hu should blow shofar. They should see to it that we should blow shofar when the Gula Hasita will take place. Shofar always represents Gilui Shechina. So the concluding paragraph of each one of the three brachas on Rosh Hashanah, Malchus, and Shofar is a big bakasha tefillah set to elevate the level of that tefillah to the level of tefillah sheishim or demais. That's why we blow shofar. The tkiyas trua, the blowing, the blasting of the trua. The trua is, the Targum says yom yababa. Trua means crying. So you want to demonstrate as if this is such a serious tefillah. So you want to blow shofar in connection. The Ramban develops this idea. He says on Rosh Hashanah there are two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to blow shofar, to be mamlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there's another inyan to blow shofar, I'll say the habrachas. And that's similar to a tiny sibur, that you blow shofar at the conclusion of each of the six additional brachas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. So on Rosh Hashanah we don't have six, we only have three. And the three are malchus, chen, and shofars. Ramban says this to enter a certain kasha. The minig b'shtei yeshivas was in Surah and Pumbedisa, where the Talmud Bavli was worked out. So after the days of the Amoraim, after the days of Abin Rav Ashi, then they had the Rabbanus of Aroi, who was still touching up the Gemara, and then you had the yeshivas, they had the Ga'onim. So the minig b'shtei yeshivas, we assume they were carrying over, usually they carry over the Mahogan from the days of the Amoraim, who functioned in these two yeshivas. The minig b'shtei yeshivas was that at the conclusion of Malchias, they would blow Tashrat, Tkiyah Shvarim Shua Tkiyah. At the conclusion, once. At the conclusion of Zechrenis, they would blow Tashat once, Tkiyah Shvarim Tkiyah, once. And at the conclusion of Shofaris, they would blow Tarat, Tkiyah Shua Tkiyah. What is it all about Shvarim Shua, Shvarim Shua? So the Gemara sounds like it says that there's a machlokes hatanoim. That Yom Teruah Yelachem Mitargeminin, Yom Yabava, a day of crying, and people, different people cry in different ways, and some people cry in a way that it sounds like Shvarim. They're sobbing, and other people cry like Teruah, and other people cry like Shvarim Teruah. So the Gemara sounds like it's a Machlokes Hatanaim, which is the correct form of Teruah. How are you supposed to be Yotze in the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar? You're supposed to blow, the Gemara learns that from Psukim, you're supposed to blow Tkiyah Teruah Tkiyah three times. We blow much more. We have a minig Taisus in the end of Rosh Hashanah. There's a big Taisus on Lamed Gimel on the base where Taisus talks about all the dinim of Tkiyah Shofar. So Taisus there quotes from the Oruch. Oruch was a dictionary written by Rav Nosson who lived in the days of Rashi. He corresponded with Rashi. In Shulchan Aruch they have the tshuva that the Oruch responded to Rashi. That's what they claim. That Rashi had the Shaila. How did that happen though? Rashi lived in Germany and the Aruch lived in Rome. That they had mail delivery between the two countries. I don't know. But Rashi had a Shaila. If you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you perform the bris? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the tshuva that the Aruch sent to Rabbeinu Shlomai. They assume that Rabbeinu Shlomai is Rashi, that you do the bris right before Tkiyah Shofar. Because we say in the Davening, Schal on the Bris Avraham, Akedas Yitzchak. So Bris Avraham is the Bris Mila, and Akedas Yitzchak is the Tkiyah Shofar, Zechel Akedas Shal Yitzchak. The Shofar Shalayel, Zechel Akedas Yitzchak. So first you have the Bris, and then you have the Tkiyah Shofar. That's the minik, that you blow Shofar and Shul right before, you do the Bris right before you blow Shofar. So Tosfos there quotes from the Oruch on Lamed Gimel on Beis, that you blow Meir Koilos. So that's a universal minik. Now that's in shul, you blow 100 Koilos. If a person is in a hospital or something like that, that not davening but tzibah, so there's no minik over there to blow Meir Koilos. You just blow. Rabbi Bo lived in Kisrin, in Eretz Yisrael, they made a takana that since there's a machlokes, what's the correct form of trua, whether it's shvarim or trua or shvarim trua, so, and the din men atar is supposed to blow three times tkiya trua tkiya. So he made a takana, he should blow three times tashrat, three times tashat, and three times tarat. So for sure you're yotze. So the Rishonim, the Goyim, were bothered with the kasha. How could there have been a machloike satanayim and a thing that you do every year? Nobody remembered what they blew last year. How is it shaykh to have a machloike? It's like tefillin the rabbeinu tam, tefillin the rashi. We don't understand. How did a machloike come in? What's the seder of the parshias that you put in the tefillin? A mitzvah that everybody does every single day. They forgot how you're supposed to do it. Very strange. So Rav Haigoin has a suggestion. It's not poshe pshat in the Gemara. Most of the Rishonim do not agree with the Rav Haigoin. Most of the Goyim do not agree. Rav Haigoin came up with a suggestion. V'ikra din, all three forms are acceptable. Whether you blow shvarim chua, you blow shvarim, or you blow chua, everything is acceptable. And that's the reason why the minig v'shtei yeshivas was that at the end of Malchias they blew tashrat once, the end of Zechonis they blew tashat once, and the end of Shervis they blew tarat once. Isn't that a contradiction? If it's tashrat, so tashat and tarat is wrong. It's supposed to be tarat, so tashat and tashrat is wrong. So for sure you're not yotzei. You have to blow three times tkiya chua tkiya. So you only blew once. Only one of them is correct. So Rav Haigoin says, no, the answer is that all three are acceptable. I think Mar seems to say that Rabba Bo made a takana. Rabba Bo lived in the city of Kisra. Rabba Bo made a takana to satisfy all the different opinions because there was a machlokes. Rav Haigoin interprets the Gemara. It doesn't mean there was a machlokes. There were chilufim and hogim in the different kehilas. And the Balabatim misunderstood. The Balabatim thought, we're the only kehila that's yotze. All the other kehilas are not yotze. They don't know what they're doing. So each kehila felt that the others are not yotze. So the Rabba Bo made a takana in Kisra. Everybody should do everything so no one will be able to point the finger and say that the other community wasn't yotze. Everybody knows that everybody was yotze. But really, Mi'ikar HaDin, he says, all three forms are acceptable. Tashrat is good, and Tashat is good, and Tarat is good. So that's why the minig b'shtei yeshivas was. In Broyas, they still have the minig like that. They still blow, after Malchias and Chazaras HaShatz, they blow only Tashrat once. After Zechonis, they blow Tashat once. And after Shavuos, they blow Tarat once. The rest of the world moved on. In Broyas, they don't change anything. They leave, that's what they claim. They claim they don't change anything. They leave everything the way it was. Yeah. Same thing, Akdamas. Akdamas, they always used to, the minhag always was in the days of the Rishonim, in the days of the Balei Torah. They used to say Akdamas in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. And all the Rabbanim said it's a hepsik, so they changed it. So all over the world, they say Akdamas before the Kohen says the Baruch HaShem Avar. And in Broyas, that's still with the old minhag. The minhag from the very old minhag from the days of the Rishonim. So that's Rav Haigoin says. Rav Haigoin says all three are acceptable. The Goyim themselves don't give that. Most of the other Goyim don't give the answer Rav Haigoin. They don't agree with him. They hold it's not true. But they say that once they introduce, the Gemara says we blow more than we're mechuyev to. We blow tkiyas the miyushav, and then we blow tkiyas the miyumba. Which are the first you blow tkiyas the miyushav, then you blow tkiyas the miyumba. Which is tkiyas the miyushav, which is tkiyas the miyumba? So most of the Rishonim learn Pashab Shah, tkiyas the miyumba means in the middle of the Amidah. When we call the Shemona Esrei, the Sfarim call it the Amidah because he's supposed to stand when you say the Shemona Esrei. So tkiyas the miyumba is the tkiyas in the middle of the Chazoras HaShatz. Tkiyas the miyushav is when you're not in the middle of the Amidah. That's the tkiyas before you start, right after Maftir. Before you start the Musaf, say blow shofar there. So the Gemara says they instituted a takana that you should blow tkiyas the miyushav, tkiyas the miyumba. So what do you blow tkiyas the miyushav? Say blow tashrat three times, and tashat three times, and tarat three times. Why did they introduce this? The Gemara says, Lama toikim emirim kishen yoshim. Why do you blow so much? Mikra din, you don't need so much. So the Gemara says, Kedei la'arbei v'sasotan. How does this confuse the satan? So Rashi says, Poshe pshat on the Gemara. The satan comes to complain that the Jewish people are not interested in keeping mitzvahs and they're doing a lot of averis. So the Jewish people want to demonstrate that they love the mitzvahs and they do above and beyond what they're obligated to do. So we blow much more than we're mechuyev to do. if you blow more than what is required, so you demonstrate that you have a chavivus hamitzvah. So that's ma'ar bevis ha-sotan. Sotan can't complain about the Jews that they're not interested in doing mitzvahs. We do above and beyond what we're mechuyev to do. That's the pshat, that's the posh pshat Gemara. So the Goyim say, we already blew because of the takana of the Gemara. You blow shofet, kiz the miyusha, before you start musav. Then you blow tkiyus the miyuma in the middle of musav. So we were yotze all the tkiyus already before you even begin musav. So then the tkiyus in the middle of musav are not really needed. We were ready yotze before. The din used to be, before they made the takana, the din used to be that you're supposed to be yotze tkiyus shofar al seder habrochas. More correct is to be yotze al seder habrochas. But somehow they made a takana to blow all the three possibilities before you start musav. So you were yotze tkiyus shofar. So you don't really need the tkiyus al seder habrochas anymore. So you may as well blow tashrat after malchus, tashrat after zechon, because you don't really need it. You were yotze everything from before. That's how the Goyim answered the question. And the Ramban answers the question differently, because the Ramban is bothered with he doesn't agree with the Rav Haigoyen, because most of the Rishonim did not agree. Rav Haigoyen said all three forms are acceptable. Tashrat is good, and Tashat is good, and Tarat is good. Simple Pshat in Gemara is not like that, the Rav Haigoyen. Simple Pshat that is a machlekes hatanaim, are you yotze only with A, B, or with C? So the Ramban says he splits. He says Rav Haigoyen is right on a tiny sibur. When you're blowing tkiyas at the conclusion of the six additional brachas in the Chazar Sanshatz and the tiny sibur, so there it doesn't make a difference. The whole purpose of the tkiyas is to elevate the level of the tefillah sheishim of the moes, and the blowing of the shofar, it should sound like a crying sound. So all three sounds are good. All three are acceptable. That's fine. But on Rosh Hashanah, there's a separate din of tkiyas shofar, like blasting the trumpets when you coronate a new king. So that has nothing to do with crying. The crying, that's to elevate the level of the tefillah. But to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there was a machlokes, which is the correct form. So that's what the Ramban says. We blow tashrat after malchus, tashat after zechonis, and tarat after shofar, because the tkiyas, in conjunction with the brachas, that's the same as on a tiny sea, but the Rav Haigoyen is right. There it doesn't make a difference which one you blow. So we blow all the three forms. But before you start davening musav, that's the tkiyus shofar Rosh Hashanah, not in connection with the davening. That's to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a legitimate machlokes. So that's why you have to do all the three forms, to be yotze all the shitas. Another one of the ten kavanas of the Rav Haigoyen is that when they used to go to battle, they used to go to war, in the army, they would blow shofar to rally all of the troops together, to encourage them that they should fight with more mesiras nefesh. So when we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we have a medina now. So and the medina has an army. Every country has to have an army. Unfortunately, the army is not just l'kovid b'yalmot, they're shooting in the middle of Muhammad all the time. So one of the kavanas that we should have is that our army in Eretz Yisrael should be victorious in battle. There are more kavanas. We should have in mind all the kavanas. What are the themes of the Malchus, the Chemenis, and Shofar? So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, Maseches Sanhedrin, on the last Perek Chelek, so the Mishnah says, Apikoris is Ein L'Chelek El Mabo. What's an Apikoris? So the Gemara says a mevazet talmid chacham is an apikoris. So there's a tshuva in the Maharil that once the chazan in the shul or the shochet, maybe the shochet in the community was mevazet the rabbi. So if he's mevazet the rabbi, is an apikoris shechitas and nevela. So how can he shecht for the community? So the Maharil says no, a mevazet talmid chacham. The Gemara calls him an apikoris, means he's going to be punished. The avera that he did is so serious, he's going to be punished as if he were an apikoris. But apikoris dina kakam only applies if the person doesn't believe in the ikori hamuna, not a mevazet talmid chacham. Mevazet talmid chacham deserves an einish like an apikoris, but he's not called an apikoris as dina kakam. So who is an apikoris? So the Rambam has a list of yud gimel ikori hamuna. How did the Rambam decide what belongs in the ikori hamuna is a serious question. How did he come upon this idea? But the Rambam says, whoever doesn't believe in Nisi Karim is an Apikaris and Dina Kaakim. The Chassam Sefer lived at the beginning of the Reform movement. After the Chassam Sefer passed away, and his Talmidim were the Ksav Sefer, his son, and the Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chassam Sefer. That's when Reform picked up even stronger. They were fighting more seriously. The days of the Chassam Sefer and Rabbi Kileger was just the beginning of the Reform movement. So the Chassam Sefer writes in one of his Trubas, fighting with the Reform, so he says, how many Ikari Hamuna are there? 613 Ikari Hamuna. Each one of the Taryat Mitzvahs is an Ikari Hamuna. If you throw out any mitzvah, it's not our religion. The Reform are throwing away some of the mitzvahs, that's not our religion. Our religion has 613 Ikari Hamuna. So start a question, what did the Rambam pick on 13 Ikari Hamuna? There are 613 Ikarim. You can't throw out any mitzvah. So they quote in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. If a person never heard of one of the 630 mitzvahs, you shiloh hakan. A person never heard of the mitzvah of shiloh hakan. You don't call him an apikaris. He's an amharitz. He doesn't know. But if a person doesn't know the ikari hamuna, that's called an apikaris. You don't just call him an amharitz. And the Rambam seems to say, Pashtas and the Rambam, that even one who doesn't believe in ikari hamuna, b'shoigeg, he was never educated properly. He doesn't know that there's Hashgacha Pratis, that there's Bechira Chavshet, that there's Char V'Yonish, and so on. He was never educated, so from the Rambam is Mashma, that an Apikoris B'Shegig is also an Apikoris. The Rambam writes that one who believes that God has a body is an Apikoris. So the Raivet is Masi. The Raivet sounds like he agrees with the Rambam, that God doesn't have a body. But he says, how can you consider these people Apikorsim? They were Gedolim and Tovim Imenu. They were bigger tzaddikim than the Rambam. Some of the Bali Atesus, the Raibid writes, were bigger tzaddikim than the Rambam, and they believed that God has a body because of the simple psukim and chumash, Yad Hashem, Af Hashem, Chara, Af Hashem. The Rebbe Shlomo's nose got hot, Yad Hashem, Raglov. It talks about God having a body, and there are Agaritis. The Raibid writes, Agoras HaMeshapshe Sesadas. There's so many agaritas that cause people to be confused, to mislead people into believing as if God has a body. So how can the Rambam consider such a person as an apikoris? It's not his fault. He's a big tzaddik. The person is a tzaddik, but he misunderstood. He thought that God has a body. So to say in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that he commented on the Raivid, it's Nebuch Rachmanis, but a Nebuch Apikaris is also an Apikaris, even though it's a Rachmanis. If he doesn't believe in the Ikari Hamuna, even though it's not his fault, he wasn't educated properly. He's also, the Rambam thinks, he's also considered Apikaris Dina Ka'akum. A Nochri is born a Nochri. He's not Jewish. It's not his fault. His mother wasn't Jewish. He's not Jewish. He can't be a Mitzarif from to a Minyan. It's not a punishment because he chose to be a Goy. That's why he can't be that. He's not Jewish, so he's not Jewish. So the same thing in Apikaris. It's not a punishment. That's a big shaila. Apikaris dina ka'akam b'shchitos and the veil. Is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So that's a machlokes a rishayim. The Bali Atos is that a machlokes. The Chido lived in the 1700s, and he wrote many, many, many svarim, over 80 svarim, I think. He was a Sfardi. That's why the Sfardim like to have, you have to have a whole bookcase just for the Chido svarim alone. So the Chido wrote among the various Svarim, each Sefer is totally different. He wrote comments on the Ein Yankov. So in the beginning of Chulin, on Daf Hei, where the Gemara has all these dinim, Apikoris dina ka'akum, and Mechal HaShabbos, Pepeasei dina ka'akum, and Abed Abed Azar dina ka'akum. So the Chido quotes a machloikis Bali Atesis. We don't have these printed yet. He quoted from Kisvayad. There was a machloikis in the days of the Bali Atesis with Apikoris dina ka'akum, is a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. It's a din d'rabbanan, then it's a punishment. It's a punishment. If it's b'shoigeg, it doesn't deserve to be punished. But if it's a din d'oraisa, even if it's b'shoigeg, he'll still say apikoris is dina ka'akum. So the Rambam lists off 13 ikari hamuna. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Alba lived after the Rambam. He wrote a sefer called Sefer Ha'ikarim. So he disagrees with the Rambam. He said, well, you have to make it into 13 ikari hamuna. Basically, there are 3 ikari hamuna. We believe in God. All the details, one God who doesn't have a body, okay, basically we believe in God. Then we believe in Torah Min HaShamayim. We believe in Nevuah. We believe in Moshe Rabbeinu Adon Habim. Basically, we believe in Torah Melech Shemayim. We believe in Zchar V'Yonesh. Basically, these are the three Ikari Hamonim. And the Rabbi Yosef Alba writes, that's why on Rosh Hashanah, we have Malchus Reina Shofes. Those are the three Ikari Hamonim. Malchus is, we believe in the existence of God, and He's all-powerful, and He runs everything in the world. That's we believe in God. And Zechreinus is Zchar V'Yonesh. We believe in Zchar V'Yonesh. And Shofes is Gilui Shechina, because whenever at Maamar HaSinai there was Gilui Shechina, so there was Kol HaShofar. And Osei Lovad, there's going to be Gilui Shechina again, there's going to be Kol HaShofar. So these are the themes, the three basic Ikori Hamunah. And the form of the three brachas, the Malchus Reina Shofes, all three are the same. The first, the beginning part of each one of the three brachas, we make a statement of what the Ikar and Emunah is all about. We believe in Malchus, and we believe in Zechreinus, we believe in Shofes, Gilui Shechina. So, and then we prove that this is true by quoting Psukim from Tanakh. Every so often, the Gemara will have, like in V'yitn L'cho, Amatzoi Shabbos, and V'yitn L'cho says, B'chol mokim shatam osik, d'losu shalakalit b'chol shamatam otzeh, amasun nusoy, dobez akasa b'tor v'shonim, b'adim shulish b'ksuvim. So the Gemara quotes, that's an agadita, we have it in the Siddur, in V'yitn L'cho. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Chumash, and a pasuk from Novi, and a pasuk from Ksuvim. Whenever you want to prove a point, if you quote from Tanakh, that's considered a clear-cut proof. So one Tan is of the opinion that when you say Malchus Reina Shofes, no need to say 10 psukim. All you have to say is 3 psukim. One from Torah, one from Nevi'im, one from Ksuvim. To back up the statement that we had in the opening paragraph of the Malchus Reina Shofes, that we believe in the Sikkur and Amunah. So we quote one pasuk from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim each to show that it's true. We follow the other Tana, that maybe we misunderstood, maybe we misrepresented the pasuk from Torah. So we quote a second pasuk. Maybe we're misreading that pasuk as well. So we quote 3 pasuk from Torah, 3 pasuk from Ksuvim, 3 pasuk from Nevi'im. And then the concluding paragraph has the bakasha, because the essence of davening is bakasha sarachim. The Rambam's, take for example, the Rambam's opinion is that there's a mitzvah to daven once a day, every day, min ha-Torah. The Gemara says so many times that tefillah is only by the Rabbanan, that means the fact that you daven 3 times a day, shachris, mincha, maariv, and the particular text, the nusach ha-tefillah, that's in the Siddur, that's mid the Rabbanan. On the level of the Raisa, you don't have to say that particular nusach. On the level of the Raisa, you don't have to daven 3, 4, 5 times a day. You daven once a day is enough. So the Rambam considers that the Rambam starts off the Sefer HaMitzvahs with the mitzvahs Aseh. So the first mitzvah he counts as we believe in God. Second mitzvah, we believe in Yichud Hashem, only one God. Then Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. And then the fifth mitzvah is to daven. I think it's the fifth of the Minyan HaMitzvah. The fifth mitzvah is to daven once a day, every day. When the Gemara says Tefillah is the Rabbanan, it goes on the Nusach HaTefillah, it goes on the fact we daven so many times a day. So Moshe Feinstein raises an issue on Shabbos and Yontov. We leave out all the middle brachas of the Shemana Esrei. That's based on the Novi. Yishaya says, "Mitzach hafatzech bedabe dover." So the Gemara says, "Bedabe dover shalei hei dibucha shal Shabbos ki dibucha shal chol." So Rashi learns what does it mean shalei hei dibucha shal Shabbos ki dibucha shal chol. You shouldn't talk about business on Shabbos. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi. If it means talking about business, it already says, it says you shouldn't talk about business. So what do you need again? Dabadover. The Tosis learns now, Dabadover means you're not allowed to talk Sicha B'Teila on Shabbos. Just to chatter, to meet with your friends and just to hak a chaynik about Narishkeit. That's an Isser on Shabbos. And then Tosis quotes a Medrash that Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai had a mother who was an old woman. And she was a chatterbox, she used to talk a lot. So on Shabbos, he used to tell her with Derech Eretz, "Mom, today's Shabbos, you got to tone it down. You're not allowed to give your parents tochacha that they're violating a din, but you have to say something." So he would say it in a bekovadik way. So you're not allowed to talk sikh b'teva on Shabbos. The Gemara has a lashon B'koshi hitira sheila shalom b'shabbos. When you see someone you haven't seen in a while, you say shalom aleichem, you greet him. So that's really sicha b'teilo. There's no significance to that chatter. So because hitira, the chachamim allowed people to say good shabbos to each other. You have to be friendly to people, even though it smacks from an isa, should really be a violation of Dabba Dover. So included in Dabba Dover is that on Shabbos we leave out all the middle of brachas of the Shmona Esrei, because that's bakoshes for refuah and for slicha and for parnasa. So these are mundane things. So Moshe Feinstein raises the question, but according to the Rambam, there's a biblical obligation to daven once a day, every day. The particular text of the davening is only with the Rabbanim, but the general framework is a din min haTorah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the first parak runs out from the Psukim. You have to begin with Shevach and with Hoidoya. In the middle is the essence of the davening, is the Bakoshes Tzarochim. The Aruch Eretz dictates you have to begin with Shevach. The Aruch Eretz dictates you should conclude with Hoidoya. But the essence of the davening is the middle part, Bakoshes Tzarochim. So if you leave out the middle part, the Shabbos Yom Tov, so you're not Yotze the Mitzvah Deraisa of davening. So Moshe Feinstein explains, no, on Shabbos and Yom Tov we also have Bakosha Tzarachim. But instead of having Gashmi Zdika Tzarachim, instead of asking for Parnasa and for Refuah, for Slicha and other things that we don't like to talk about on Shabbos, Dabba Dover, Shilahei Debucha Shal Shabbos Ki Debucha Shal Chol, so we offer Bakoshas in the area of Ruchnis. We have a Kenu Kevaseinu, please accept our observance of Shabbos. Kachena mitzvah secha, secha kena mitzvah secha, v'tar v'beinu, li'ovdecha v'emes. That's bakoshes tzarachim. It's a different kind of tzarachim. So the same is true regarding Malchus Chayin Shofar on Rosh Hashanah by Musaf. At the conclusion of each one of the three tefillas, Malchus Chayin, three brachas, we say, okay, no, say, m'lachol kol ha'am kula b'choy decha. That's a bakosha. Then, okay, no, say, z'chem z'karen tabu l'fanecha. That's a chroinus. The concluding paragraph of each one of these three brachas has a bakosha. And that's the reason why we have the 10th pasuk. The 10th pasuk is not really needed. Rav Soloveitchik interpreted a whole pshat in the Gemara. He got this from the Gemara. He didn't make it up on his own. So he pointed out that each one of the three brachas that you say on Rosh Hashanah, Malchus Chayin Shofar has three parts to it. The first part, we state our position, we formulate a statement of what we believe in, the three Ikori Amunah that Rav Yosef Albo wrote. Remember years ago there was a student here in Yeshiva by the name of Yosef Albo. He was a descendant and he got smicha and he's functioning as a rabbi somewhere. Yosef Albo. Okay. He was in my shir, I think, a year. Nice fellow. So Rabbi Yosef Albo points this out, that basically there are three Ikari Amunah. The Rambam's 13 boiled down to three, Malchus, Chayinus, and Shofar. So the first section of each one of them, we formulate a statement what we believe in. The middle section, we prove that it's so. So instead of just saying one pasuk from Torah, one pasuk from Ksuvim, one pasuk from Nevi'im, we say three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Nevi'im, in case we're misreading one of them, so the others indicate that it's so. And the 10th pasuk has nothing to do with proving the point. 10th pasuk relates to the bakosha at the end. We're going to offer a bakosha, b'locha kol ha'am kula b'chvei decha, so we say the 10th pasuk is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Alkein, Hashem Echod. Rashi and Chumash translates the pasuk. That's how the Tanoim obviously understood. The Gemara says, Shema Yisrael can count for Malchias. Why you don't mention Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So obviously they understood like Rashi, Al HaTorah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Shehu Achshav Alakenu, right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only the God over the Jewish people. We recognize him as the Melech HaOlam. The day will come that will be Hashem Echad. All the Yom HaSolam will also accept the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that pasuk counts for Malchias. So we offer the Tefillah Dian Baruch Hu, Kol Ha'am Kula B'Chvei Decha, please bring about Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be accepted by all the nations of the world. As you promised in the Chumash, Ma'isa Hashem Echad, that day will come that all the nations in the world will accept Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same with Zichroinus, we say the 10th pasuk is not for proving the point. We prove the point with the 9 psukim, 3, 3, and 3. The 10th pasuk is connected with the Bakosh at the end. The day should come that you should fulfill the promise that you said, Malchus, Zichroinus and Shofar as well. In our machzorim. So we have a difference between Malchias on the one hand and Zechonis and Shervis on the other hand. The 10th pasuk from Malchias appears right after the 9. Masheniken, Zechonis and Shervis, the 10th pasuk appears in the middle of the Bakosha. The middle of the Bakosha of Zechonis, middle of the Bakosha of Shervis. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch talk about this. How come? So they say the 4th pasuk in the Shema, the 4th bracha in Musaf is normally on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov for Rosh Chodesh, the 4th bracha would have been Kedushas Hayom. So we combine, we can't have a tefillah with, we should really have 10 brachas on Rosh Hashanah by Musaf. Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis, the Gimel Machzor on the surface, and the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. But we have no source in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 10 units. So we only have a source for a tefillah with 9 units, that's tefillah schana. We mentioned that in the piyutim that we say on Rosh Hashanah, that the nusach of the musaf is patterned after tefillah schana, where Shem Hashem appears 9 times. You have the right to make a tefillah with 9 units. So because Malchus is really smuggled in over here, the bracha is really Kedushas Hayom, so we're not going to put the pasuk. We don't want Malchus to take over. Malchus is a guest. That's the expression that the Akronim use. Malchus is a guest over here, because the 4th bracha, Nishman Esrei, Musaf, is always the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So we're gonna put in a pasuk here. So we don't put it in the middle of the bakosha. We put it at the end of the 9, but it really relates to the bakosha at the end. Just like Zechenis and Shefres, the pasuk is in the middle of the bakosha. So the 10th pasuk that we say by Malchus before you begin the bakosha really relates to the bakosha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to encourage the Balei Tefillah. When for many years he used to give a shiur for the Rabbinical Council of America and Aseres Mei Tshuva. He called it the Kinas Tshuva. So and now it became, after he discontinued, then it became popular. So many other Rabbanim also in Europe, all the Rabbanim gave drushes on Aseres Mei Tshuva. Not just on Yom Kippur, not just on Rosh Hashanah. They gave drushes in Eri Behuda, printed his drusha, others. Everybody gave drushes in Aseres Mei Tshuva. So Soloveitchik did like the tradition always was. He was very traditional. So after he discontinued, so then everybody used to go to his drusha. After he discontinued it, because it was very old and weak, so then other Rabbanim did it. So now you can find a lot of people giving drushes in the middle of Aseres Mei Tshuva. That's the way it's supposed to be. But at the time, he was the only one who was giving these drushes. Rashi, in a few places in his commentary on the Gemara, sounds as if he's saying, the simple reading of Rashi is, the Tanoim learned that from the Psukim, that it says the word true 3 times, Achodesh HaShvi'i. It says it, I think it says it twice on Rosh Hashanah. It says it once on Yom Kippur Shel Yoivo. Yom Kippur Shel Yoivo, blow shofar, just like on Rosh Hashanah, and you say Malchus Reina Shofars on Yom Kippur Shel Yoivo. Once every 50 years, you blow Shofar on Yom Kippur, and you say Malchus Reina Shofars. So the Gemara says, all the Tekiyos of Chodesh HaShvi'i are supposed to be the same, so you add them up together. So it says twice Trua by Rosh Hashanah, it says once Trua by Yom Kippur Shel Yoivo, so it means you have to blow 3 times Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah. So Rashi writes, Rashi sounds like he says on the Gemara, and the Chumash also, Rashi sounds like he holds that Tekiyas al Seder HaBrachas is a din d'oraisa, and the reason why you need 3 times Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah, because you're going to say, you're going to blow Shofar after Malchus, after Zechonis, and after Shofaris, so that's why you need 3 times Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah. Once for Malchus, once for Zechonis, once for Shofaris. So the Ramban al HaTorah in Parshas Amor asks on Rashi, he asks on Rashi on the Chumash, the Rashi on the Gemara is more, sounds even stronger than Rashi al HaTorah. It sounds like it's a din d'oraisa. The reason why you need 3 times Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah, because you're going to blow Shofar after Malchus, after Zechonis, after Shofaris. That's why 3 brachas, so you need 3 times Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah. So the Ramban asks, what is he talking about? Malchus Reina Shofaris is only with the Rabbanan. How can he explain the din d'oraisa that you need 3 times Tekiyah Trua Tekiyah based on Malchus Reina Shofaris? The whole Malchus Reina Shofaris is only Rabbanan. How do you know it's only with the Rabbanan? So the Ramban quotes a Gemara. The Gemara has a braisa, it's a din in Shulchan Aruch. A person lives in a little village and there's no shofar, so he won't be able to hear. If he stays home for Rosh Hashanah, he won't hear Tekiyah Shofar. and he doesn't have a machzor either. In the days of the Tanoim, you weren't allowed to write down the Nusach HaTfilah. That's the Gemara Masechah Shabbos in Perek Kol Kisvei. The Gemara says that just like you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh, now we wrote down the whole Torah Shebal Peh. We have all the Gemaras and you have art scroll and everything. We have everything that's written down. But in the days of the Tanoim, it was assumed to be Keneged Adin. You're not allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh. So the Nusach HaTfilah was considered a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh. So they weren't allowed to write it down. So how are you going to know? Malchus Chayna Shoifes, who's going to remember all the 30 psukim? So the Chazan has to know. The Tzibur didn't know the Malchus Chayna Shoifes. The Chazan knew. So the Gemara has a situation. The fellow lives in a little village. There's neither a Shoifes nor is there a Machzer. There's in the Tanoim. Nobody had a Machzer. If he'll go to the big city, he doesn't have enough money to go to the big city, they'll have everything. They have a shofar, and then they have a chazan who knows the psukim, malchus chayna shofar, he'll be able to be yetzibah. He can't afford to go to the big city. He can either go to one little village or another little village. In one village there's a shofar, in one village there's a machzer. So should he go to the village where there's a shofar and there's no machzer? Should he go to the village where there's a machzer and there's no shofar? So the Braisa says you go to the village where they have a shofar. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, that's obvious, you don't need a Braisa. Tkiyah shofar is a din deraisa, malchus chayna shofar, this is only midirabbanan. So if you have a choice, you can only fulfill one of the two mitzvahs, either the mitzvah midirabbanan, malchus chayna shofar, or the mitzvah deraisa of shofar. Of course you go to the village, but it's going to be the mitzvah deraisa of shofar. What do you need a Braisa to tell you that's elementary? Gemara says, no, the Braisa tell me the following chiddush. Called in Shulchan Aruch. In the one village, there's no shofar, but there is a machzer, and they're going to have malchus chayna shofar, for sure. The other village, there's no machzer, there may or may not be a shofar. There may or may not be a shofar. So it may turn out there's neither a machzer nor a shofar. So one would have thought, let him go to the village where for sure he's going to have the machzer. At least he'll have the malchus chayna shofar. So the Braisa tells me, a big chiddush, no. It's better to go, they have no way of communication. He's not going to find out. They don't have any telephones, and there's no telegraph. There's no way to find out in advance whether they are going to have the machzer, whether they are going to have the shofar or not. So the Gemara says it's worth it to choose to go to the village where you know there's no machzer. They're not going to say machzer on the shofar, and they may or may not have a shofar. Even though it may turn out that if you have neither a shofar nor a machzer, you won't fulfill either. A suffix chance of fulfilling a din d'araisa is odif to be preferred over a vaday din d'rabbanan. That's what the psak and shulchan aruch. That's what the gemara said. That's what the braisa means to say. In the one village, it's a vaday. There's a machzer and there's no shofar. The other village, it's a vaday. There's no machzer and there may or may not be a shofar. So it's preferable to go to the may or may not. Preferable to go to the city where they have both a machzer and a shofar. But apparently that's not bo b'cheshbon. He doesn't have enough money to travel. In Europe, a lot of times, the villages were so tiny, there was no minyan. And Tkiyah Shofar, in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, is only the tzibur. If a person, let's say, there's no minyan, person is davening b'chir, even though he knows how to blow shofar, even though there's a bal tekeah, will be happy to blow shofar for him in the middle of his tefillah b'lachash. The Gemara says, you don't blow shofar in the middle of Shmona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, unless it's b'tzibur, b'yachid yiron. Why? Apparently the tefillah, the tkiyah shofar is a form of tefillah, and it's only, you only put it in the middle of the tefillah if it's tefillah b'tzibur. There's a difference, tefillah b'tzibur and tefillah b'yachid. Our salvation used to say, let's say on Sukkot, someone will shake lulav in the middle of the Shmona Esrei. That'll be a hefsek. To shake lulav in the middle of challah, that's not a hefsek, because shaking lulav is based on the Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, is based on the pasuk, Oz Yiranu Kol Atzei Hayor. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu will be accepted as the Melech HaOlam, all of the world will be rejoicing, the trees will be dancing. Oz Yiranu Kol Atzei Hayor. So we shake the lulav to demonstrate as if the trees are dancing of accepting Malchus HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The whole world is going to be rejuvenated, the whole world is going to be excited. But if you shake a lulav in the middle of Shmona Esrei, that's a hefsek. If you blow shofar in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, that's not a hefsek. Only if it's tefillah b'tzibur. The yochid, it is a hefsek, the Gemara says. Why is it not a hefsek? Tkiyah shofar enhances the tefillah. It's a form of tefillah without any words. and it elevates it to the level of Tefillah Sheshima Demas, like that Gemara and Hazov. Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash didn't allow Shari Tefillah, but Shari Demas had learned in Allah. So that's why blowing Shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, that's not a hefsek. That Tosfos that we mentioned on Lama Gimel and Beis, when Tosfos goes through all the dinim of Tekiyah Shofar, so Tosfos writes over there, they quote from the Aruch, that not only did they blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, he used to blow shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash. If you're davening Tefillah Belachash with Tzibur, the Hasidim do like that. They blow shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash and also in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. So the Avnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was Sochet Shofar Rebbe. And he writes in one of his tshuvas, he says, if not for the fact that that's what he does for a living, he's a Chassidish Rebbe, he would never blow shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash. It's the most confusing thing, because everybody davens at a different speed, and everyone's holding somewhere else. And maybe for the Baal Tekeh, Baal Tekeh is going to blow after he finishes Malchus, after he finishes Zechariah, after he finishes shofar. Where are the other people going to be? Everybody's going to be in the same place, on the same page. It's the most confusing thing. So he says, what can I do? That's what I do for Parnassah. I'm a Chassidish Rebbe, so I have to blow shofar. I have to see to it that they blow shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash. He says he wouldn't recommend it. But most of the Ashkenazim don't do it. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather, Rav Chaim B'Davke, made a private minyan on Rosh Hashanah because he wanted to follow the Oruch. He wanted to have tkiyas in the middle of Tefillah Belachash, B'Tzibur, as well as in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. But most don't do that. Most Ashkenazim only blow. Rav Soloveitchik also had a very small minyan on Rosh Hashanah. Didn't have such a big crowd in Maimonides' school. And he used to blow shofar in the middle of Tefillah Belachash. And he always would make an announcement. He's going to daven a little louder than everybody else. He always used to daven Tefillah Belachash out loud. For many years, we always used to daven Mincha in the classroom. This is a recent thing, that everybody finishes in time for Mincha. Rabbi Reis was the menial of the yeshiva before Rabbi Penner, so Rabbi Reis introduced that. There's a big takan that everyone should finish here before Mincha, should all daven Mincha in the Beis HaMedrash. That's more correct, is like that. But for many, many years, we always used to daven in the classrooms upstairs, right after the shir. So we always used to daven Mincha. So Baal Tefillah would say Ashrei, say Chatzi Kaddish, and then Rabbi Soloveitchik started saying Tefillah Belachash. He thought he was making a Hoichei Kedusha. So nobody said Tefillah Belachash till he got out the Chaynin. He kept on going. We realized, oh, this is the Tefillah Belachash. We thought it was a Hoichei Kedusha. He was against Hoichei Kedusha. He said, it's not right. You have to have Chazaras Hashatz. You shouldn't have a Hoichei Kedusha. And he said, even if you did a Hoichei Kedusha, and then everybody davened Tefillah Belachash, after they finish the tefillah, they're mechuyev to give Chazaras Hashatz. Chazaras Hashatz is not only for the purpose of saying Kedusha. Even if you already said Kedusha in the beginning, because someone made a Kedusha, still have to have a Chazaras Hashatz at the end. If you have 10 people who daven tefillah Belachash, you've got to have. So Rav Soloveitchik would make the announcement every year on Rosh Hashanah. He said, I don't know, I'm older than everybody here in this room, and I know he used to know all the Shemoneh Esrei by heart. Malchus Renu, I knew it by heart. He says, I know it by heart, and he used to daven very quickly also. He says, I can't daven as quickly as you. You must be skipping words. You daven, I'm going to daven a little louder than everybody else, which he always did. He's going to daven a little louder. Everybody should synchronize their davening with my davening. And when I finish Malchus, then the Baal Tekeh is going to blow shofar. When I finish Zechrinus, then he's going to blow shofar. Then he would make also an announcement. All the announcements were before Tekeh shofar. Not supposed to be a mafsik in the middle of the tekiyah, so he would make an announcement that when the chazan says the chazaras hashatz, everybody has to answer amen properly. You're not allowed to answer amen chatufo. You shouldn't answer amen too soon. So he said, usually the people answer amen too soon. All year long, people answer amen. He said, you have to wait till the chazan completes the final syllable of the last word of the bracha. Let's say, what did he say? Kadesh Yisrael, Yom Hazikam. Everybody says amen with the final syllable. So he would always explain how they were all saying wrong. Mishneh Berurah complains about that. But by the Soloveitchiks, Rav Elbow Soloveitchik also, they had an added consideration over here. They have a diuk in the Rambam. They quote Rav Chaim made the diuk, others made the diuk. They have a diuk in the Rambam the Rambam quotes a Gemara in Sukkah that let's say I say Kiddush on Shabbos and people are listening, so Shamea Ke'oina, even if they didn't answer Amen, whoever answers Amen can be Yotze with my bracha. What if he doesn't answer Amen, he just listens to the Din of Shamea Ke'oina? One who pays attention is considered as if he answered Amen. And since it's considered as if he answered Amen, Kalayin Amen, Kilo Hotzi Brachim Yipiv Dami. From the Rambam, there's a possible mashmois that by Chazara Sashat and Benshim Mizuman, if you don't answer Amen, you're not Yotze. Because it's a bracha shel Tzibur, a bracha shel Chabura, and you need audience participation. So if the Tzibur doesn't answer Amen, it could be that you don't say Shemei Kain over there. And then they said, and Anias Amen has to be proper. So if the people are going to answer Amen incorrectly, you're going to answer Amen Chatufa. Comes out that no one in the shul is Yotze, the key is Al Seder Abrachas, because it wasn't Al Seder Abrachas. The Chazaras Al Shatz relates to everybody in the shul only if they answered Amen properly. You have to have nine people answer Amen properly to the Chazim. So there's more of an insistence, all year long you have to answer Amen properly in Chazaras Al Shatz, otherwise on Yotze Chazaras Al Shatz. And Rosh Hashanah, not only are not Yotze Chazor Sashat, you're not Yotze the din of Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. Most assume Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is only a din de Rabbanan. This Rashi sounds like it holds that Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is a din de Araisa. So that's what the Ramban asked on Rashi. How can Rashi say that Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is a din de Araisa? Gemara said Beferish, the Malchus Chayna Sherefis is only made the Rabbanan. If you have a choice, which city to go to? Of course, the Gemara says, go to the city where they have a shayf, and not to the city where they have a machzer. The Malchus Chayna Sherefis is only the Rabbanan. How can Rashi say that? Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is their right. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over, when the Sefer Yom Trua, there's a thin Sefer that's on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkah. So one third of the Sefer is called Yom Trua, one third of the Sefer is called Kapas Tamar. A lot of people call it all Sefer. One third of the Sefer is on the last parak in Yuma about the Chamisha Inuyim, that's called Tosefes Yom HaKippur. He wrote like Tosefes. So on this Kashev, the Ramban against Rashi, how can Rashi hold that Malchus Chayna Sherefis is the Raisa, the Gemara of Feris only by the Rabbanan? So the Sefer, Yom Trua, answers the Kashev. He says, Rashi says Malchus Chayna Sherefis is the Raisa if it comes in conjunction with Shofar. If you're blowing Shofar, then you're saying Malchus Chayna Sherefis, then it's the Raisa. But if the village doesn't have a Shofar, all they have is a machzer, and they're going to say Malchus Chayna Sherefis, then Rashi will agree that it's only the Rabbanan. If it comes in conjunction with the Shofar, because the Shofar is a form of tefillah. So if you're blowing Shofar, and then you say Malchus Chayna Sherefis, that's a kiyum d'oraisa. So that's why by the Soloveitchik, the Rav Avila Soloveitchik used to make this announcement also every year. I remember here in Yeshiva, when I was a Talmud, three of the Rabbeim were Talmidim of Rav Avila Soloveitchik, outstanding Talmidim. One was Adonai Bornstein, and one was Rabbi Yeruchim Garelik, and one was Rabbi Hanach Fishman. They had all three of them learned by Rav Avila Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Hanach Fishman was not in the rabbinate, so he used to come to the yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah, and he was facing Mizrach, but when it came to the conclusion of the brachas and the Shemana, so he would turn around and wave his hands, no one should say Amen, till the chazan finishes the final syllable of the final word of the bracha. Because apparently that's where Rabbi Avila was makbid. That's where Rabbi Soloveitchik was makbid, more so on Rosh Hashanah than all year long. Because if you're going to answer Amen incorrectly, it's as if you didn't answer Amen. And if you don't have the Tzibur answering Amen, now Ashmos when the Rambam, that you're not Yotze the Tfilah B'Tzibur, not Yotze the Tfilah B'Tzibur, so you're not Yotze what could be a Din D'Araisa, Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. Okay, maybe we will stop here. Maybe we'll continue next week on Sunday. You let me know whether people are interested in learning some more Baba Basra or interested in discussing some more about Rosh Hashanah. Okay.